This is Mike Roth. Welcome to the Open Forum in the Villages podcast. In this show, we're going to talk to leaders in the community, leaders of clubs, and interesting folks who live here in the villages to give perspective of what's happening here in the villages and information that I think all villagers should have. We hope to add a new episode every Friday morning at 9 o'clock. So, Jack, you started your business career working in radio.
That's right.
We had another fellow who's the co-leader of the improv club named Larry Rotkin, who also worked in radio in the Chicago area. You started out your business career in the Pittsburgh area.
Right, north of Pittsburgh in Erie, Pennsylvania, right on Lake Erie.
Oh, I had to do business in Erie a couple of times.
Yeah, well, I bet you regret that.
Well, it was a great tour of the GE locomotive plant.
Yeah.
And the Zurn company.
Yeah, well, I worked for Zurn.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, toilet drains and such.
Nuclear plants and golf clubs.
Oh, I didn't know Zurn. You know, Mr. Zurn lives here in the villages in the winter?
Yeah, yeah.
He and his wife came to our improvisational theater club one time.
Yeah.
So you left the radio business and went into as an advertising agency in Pittsburgh.
Right.
Where you and your wife, Pam, lived for 20 years. Your wife is a retired English professor from the University of Pittsburgh, and she herself is a poet and has written 5 books. Jack started writing his fictional book about the villages in late 2020. And published it in 2021. The book is titled The Roundabout Way. It's for sale on Amazon and at best at Barnes & Noble and All Booked Up in the Villages. What is All Booked Up in the Villages?
All Booked Up is in the Colony Plaza on 466.
Really?
So if you're on your way to get an ice cream over at Mystic Ice Cream,
sure.
You want to stop at All Booked Up on the way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Still. That's that little bookstore near Messaluna.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Yeah. I knew the store, but I didn't know the name.
Well, tell Jamie I said hello.
Okay.
It's a great little store.
So how many copies of your book have sold?
About 500 so far.
Mm-hmm.
So that's in 6-7 months now.
Well, that's not bad.
No, I'm happy with it.
That's a self-published book?
Yes.
We'll talk a little bit more about self-publishing later. Okay. Jack, there have been a few books written about the villages, which suggests that the villages is full of nutty, strange people, that we have drunken parties and so forth. It's been called the STD capital of America, if not the world. Is the roundabout way anything like that?
No. And you're right. That one of the reasons I wanted to write this book was because I really wanted to dispel the notion that there was anything untoward about living in the villages. It's a wonderful place. And the more time I spend here, the more amazed I am at how terrific it is. And I didn't know what to expect. I visited like so many other people do. There's a thing they call a lifestyle visit where you can get a place for a long weekend and they share with you some of the passes and so forth for visiting the movie theaters or the recreation centers. And you get a golf cart and you're on your own.
Yeah, golf cart. I did that trip too a couple of times. And, yeah. You know, they give you the golf carts, bicycles.
Yeah.
Passes for the health club.
Well, it was very low pressure. I mean, really no pressure. You were literally on your own. You could ask questions of anyone and people were friendly and fun. And, you know, I expected maybe I'd get into like a continuing care community where I'd see a lot of people who have medical issues. But no, it was people who were very active. And at that time, at that point in time, and hopefully going forward in the next few years, I'm going to be active. And so that was very interesting to me that there were so many things to do. So anyway, the idea came to me that...
How long ago did you move to the villages?
Well, it's been a couple of years now, almost 3 years.
Almost 3 years, okay. Yeah.
You know, as I say, Mike, my impression of the villages has just gotten better as time goes on. I think what the family who created this place has been able to do is just wonderful for retirees, particularly for veterans who are welcomed here with open arms and people who do want to have an active lifestyle and enjoy the Florida sun. And wow, there are 3,000 clubs in the villages, all
more
kinds
than that,
of things.
Probably close to 3,300 clubs now.
That's incredible. And the villages is a big city. I mean, it's probably 150,000 people by now and growing. So you get to meet a lot of people from a lot of places. Our little neighborhood up north is the definition of diversity. I mean, we've got people from Korea and Cuba and Spain and Colombia just within, 100 yards of my house. And it's terrific. I really couldn't be happier. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to express that in this book, and I wanted to make sure that anyone who read it got a different view of the villages and a more realistic view.
Right.
Of the villages.
Right. There have been a couple of movies or YouTube videos done which aren't terribly complimentary and take a biased perspective of the villages.
Exactly.
It's actually pretty disappointing from what I've seen of them. And it's good to hear that so you wrote a fictional novel.
Right.
About a real place.
Right.
Names have been changed to protect the innocent. Now, I haven't had a chance to read your book yet, but I've been told that it's got a Garrison Keillor vibe to it. Why don't you tell our listeners what that really means, especially tell them who Garrison Keillor is, because a lot of people don't know him.
Well, Garrison Keillor is most famous for his weekly public radio program, A Prairie Home Companion, and then the writing that he did that supplemented that radio program. He broadcast every week, usually from his home in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And Minnesota Public Radio was the fundraising source for everything that he did. And he would bring acts on the air, and he would tell stories and sing songs. And in fact, I got to watch him live a couple of times. Yeah, my agency was handling the advertising for Chautauqua Institution in Chautauqua, New York. And he opened his season 2 years in a row at the amphitheater in Chautauqua. So I got some front row seats and got to watch him do the production live on the air with the sound effects guys and his band. And it was terrific. It made a real impression on me. But he has a fictional town that people may remember was named Lake Wobegon, and he would always tell the news from Lake Wobegon. So I thought, well, there are tribute bands that want to sound like the Beatles or the Rolling Stones or the Beach Boys, and why not a book that has, in a sense, a tribute to that style? Mm-hmm. The things about America, the things about the villages that make it unique. And many of those factors, those elements, are the same with Garrison Keillor as they are with the villages. There's a strong sense of community, patriotism, religion, neighbor helping neighbor. Those kinds of things that were themes for Garrison Keillor are themes in this book as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there really is a lot of that, neighbor helping neighbor here in the villages, and a lot of really good people. So as a villager, well, actually, before you became a villager, mm-hmm. had you ever written a book?
When I was 9 years old, I wrote a book about the weather. But that's it.
Okay.
That's it. But as an ad agency, creative director, I had to do a lot of writing. Mm-hmm. I wrote every day. And, much of that was fiction. The joke is you're trying to get people to spend money they don't have for things they don't need.
Right. You were an ad agency.
Yeah, an ad agency, right. So, you have to write copy that makes the food seem yummier mm-hmm. and the car more desirable.
So how did you go about self-publishing your book?
Well, I knew I had to start with content. So before I got too concerned about the technology involved or the process involved in actually putting words into print, I got my content together and I workshopped it in front of a critique group, which I'm still a member of. And we had a meeting this morning, And they're a tough bunch of writers, many of whom have published their own books.
Was that the Writers League?
No. This is an independent group of eight people who meet at a rec center every week. And if you're scheduled to read, you'll send your piece out to them in advance. They'll send it back to you with edits. Then you read what you've recreated for them live, and they hammer it again.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully by that time, you've got something. You've found the weaknesses in your plot or in the choreography of your characters. Or I made a mistake with one of my characters in the piece I wrote today where I exchanged his name for another character. And they picked it up right away. They said, it can't be Marco. It's got to be Pablo.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you're right. It's Pablo. I didn't see that. So it's very helpful to have that. And once that process was through, I gave it to my wife, who was an English professor, as you mentioned. She did a full edit for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got onto a website called Readsy and found some professionals to help me out. I got an illustrator for the cover, whose name is Andy Bridge. Andy is a Brit who lives in France. And among his credits, he illustrated the cover for The Life of Pi, which was a very successful book. I think it sold 17 million copies.
Oh, so 3.1478.
Yeah, well, it is. There's something about that in the story, as a matter of fact. But then I also found a content editor, and the purpose of the content editor is to read the story and tell you whether or not, first of all, it fits your collection. In this case, I was writing an anthology. So if there was a story in there that didn't quite fit with the others, she told me.
Mm-hmm.
She also suggested that I sort the stories into maybe three different categories to help the reader find their way through it, to make some sense of the organization. And that was an excellent idea, and I think it helped a lot. And then in the final analysis, I got a typesetter. And the typesetter was able then to compose all of this content in type and properly present it so that it could be uploaded to Amazon with very little effort on my part at all. So
you used Amazon self-publishing features.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the process I went through, and it was fairly painless.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it costs money, so you have to be, if you're going to write a book and you want to do this, you have to understand that, you know, you may be into it, depending on how much you do yourself, you may be into it for a couple of $1,000s. So if you're trying to make money at it, chances are you won't.
Mm-hmm.
But
self-publisher.
That's right. But if you're doing it because you'd like people to read your stories, which was my goal, then to be able to sell 500 books, that was just wonderful.
Well, did you break even?
I am almost at break even, yes.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, I think so.
Anytime these little, I call them side businesses, break even is great.
Yes.
I think we're going to take a little break here, and then we're going to continue talking to Jack O'Brien in the bonus content episode. So thanks for being with us today, Jack.
Thank you, Mike.
Remember, our next episode will air live next Friday at 9 a.m., or should I say pre-recorded, but that's when it'll be released on our regular subscriptions. Bonus subscribers can get early access to episodes. Should you want to become a sponsor of the show, contact me at mikeroth@rothvoice.com. If you know someone that you think should be on the show, send me an email at mike@rothvoice.com. I want to thank everyone for listening to the show. The content of the show is copyright by Roth Voice 2022, all rights reserved.